Hello, this is Pastor Travis from Unity Church Magnolia. We want to thank you for joining us today for this week's podcast. We pray that it will encourage you and strengthen you for your journey with Christ. We hope to see you soon. God bless you as you listen.
Amen. So we're going to continue our series. I'm only going to speak for a few minutes. It's been a full day already this morning. Man, I just love watching God change lives. But I do want to sum up this series entitled Called. Somebody say, I am called by God to do great things. Come on, say it again. I am called by God to do great things. So we established that every believer is called. In Romans 8, 28 through 30, it says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. It's God's purpose that we need to be living for. In verse 29, it says, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. God, we thank you that we're called, that we're chosen. God, that we have been set apart to do great things for your kingdom. God, today, help us to walk in that calling and to fulfill all that you have for us. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Could you give the worship team a hand this morning? Oh, they were on fire this morning. Awesome. So the first week of Called, we talked about how God has called us. He's chosen us. He has given us a part in his plan. He's laid out the plan for us, and he's given us a role to play. And we talked about how we must confirm that calling by the way we live. We must confirm that calling by the choices that we make every day. It's the everyday choices that we make in life that make us who we are. Can I tell you, it's not whether you can shout louder than anybody in church, or that you can jump up and down and dance and I've seen people, you know, we used to call it cut a rug in church, or get the Holy Ghost tingles, you know, when the right song is sung. None of that makes you who you are. What makes you who you are is the choices that you make from day to day. That's what makes you who you are. You know, a great book is not determined by the cover or the binding, but is determined by the contents that are inside between the cover and the binding, the things that the binding is holding together. It's that which makes a great book. And the choices that we make from day to day, and whether we choose to walk out the calling of God on our lives, that's the things that make us who we are. The Lord has been really dealing with my heart here of late that, you know, sometimes we make our relationship and our walk with God so much about the emotional feelings that come with it that we forget the content behind it. And so we make it, you know, if the emotions aren't there, you know, if everybody's not shouting and dancing and hooping and hollering, we say, man, that was a dead service today. Absolutely not. You know, that we can't live life based on what we feel or see, because our senses can lead us astray. And so we've got to look deeper, and we got to say, what is God doing in my life? How have I changed from the way I used to be? What has God done that is different? Why do I feel different? Why am I making better choices? You know, because if you are shouting and dancing and hooping and hollering and still making the same old bad choices Monday through Friday, then we have left our experience with God at the altar. But the Bible calls you the temple of the Holy Spirit, that we are to indwell with the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is to inhabit us on the inside and to cause us to become more like Christ every day. Every day. You know, sanctification is a process. I don't think any of us have reached Christ-likeness yet, but we're being made into the image of Christ. Every day I should look a little bit more like Jesus. I love what Sheila Martin says. You need to come out smelling like Jesus. You know, Things don't go your way at work. Things don't go your way at school. Things don't go your way at home. Do you come out smelling like Jesus, or did you just smell a little bit like smoke? Okay. You guys are quiet now. Y'all are shouting Mikey down. You can't let me down this morning. But we make it so much about how I feel, what I think, what I think it should be. We make it so much about the emotions behind the relationship. God wants us to be more in love with Him today than we were yesterday, whether you feel like it or not. Because love is a choice. Somebody say, love is a choice. And whether you walk out your calling with God or not, that is a choice that you're going to have to make every day, even when you do not feel like it. Do you know the greatest calling that I have in my life? Somebody say, we started this series, me sharing that we've had so many counseling sessions. I just don't know what God's called me to do. And I made the point, it's more about who you're called to be than what you're called to do, right? And so the greatest calling that I have in my life is to simply be a child of God. That's your greatest calling too. To be a child and a follower of God. To stay so close to the Holy Spirit that when He says go left, you go left. And when He gently turns to the right, you gently turn with Him because you're close to Him. You're locked arm in arm with the Holy Ghost, if you will. And so that's my greatest calling. And then I know that God has called me to be a pastor. I know that. I've known that since I was a kid, that God has called me to be a pastor. And so I'm trying to live out that calling to the best of my ability. And I thank God for His anointing because He makes up the difference, right? Because there's things that I'm weak in, there's things that I'm not skilled in, that God can make up the difference with His anointing. We talked about how you've got to start with what you're good at. And so God had to show me what my strengths were. And so we start with that, and then God makes up the difference. But I'm also called to be a husband to a beautiful woman. Thank God. She's not ugly. You know, man, I thank God that I got called to a beautiful woman. And I get the opportunity to live out that calling every day. But if you're married, would you come into agreement with me so that I'm not out on this limb all by myself? Now, Mikey doesn't know this yet, but there are days where you don't feel like being a husband. I didn't hear one single guy laugh, only the women. Probably because they had an elbow in their ribs, you know? They're like, don't you do it, you know? There's days where you don't feel like being a husband. There's days where you don't feel like being a father. There's days you don't feel like being a wife. Who said that? We have one brave soul. But your calling is not based on what you feel like. If you made a commitment till death do us part, you were called to that till death do you part. And if you made a commitment to God, I have news for you. That was a till death do you part. And then you get to continue the journey in paradise. That is a forever commitment. And it's a commitment that we have to walk out every day of our lives. Can somebody say amen? And I have news. There's days that I don't feel like being a pastor. Let me just tell you. There's just days that I don't feel like being a pastor. But guess what? You have to live out the calling anyway. Can somebody say amen? So we know that we're called. We know that there's things that we are called to do. And like I said, we're called to Christ. We're called to good works, to do good to others. We're called to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. And God has equipped us to do everything that He's called us to do. And the last time I spoke here was we talked about the things that kill that calling, because there's things that will stop you from accomplishing all that God has for you to do. And we talked about what some of those things are. And we talked about how the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he wants to rob you of your potential. And we've got to come against him and not allow the thief access in our life. We also talked about how the past will hold you back and drag you backwards and keep you from doing the things that God has for you to do today. You know, yesterday's failures, if you allow them to take root in your life, will keep you from accomplishing today's victories. And so we don't want to let failure rob us of victory. We want to allow our failures to propel us forward into our victory. And so we can't let the past kill our calling. We also can't let sin, the things of this world that hold us back, we can't allow those things to take root in our life. And also just laziness. You know, we just don't feel like it. I don't feel like getting up and praying. I don't feel like getting up and reading the word. I don't feel like going to church. I don't feel like being a husband. I don't feel like, you know, we get into these feelings. Anytime I get into my feelings, it's usually not good. And so we've got to keep those feelings at bay and not be lazy. The Bible says that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. I would hate for God to say that when I stand before him one day, you let the harvest rot because you didn't feel like it. You let my harvest rot because you didn't feel like going out and witnessing, telling your story, stopping and talking to a cashier at Walmart or somebody that may be limping down the aisle that needs to be set free and healed. You know, we have seen people healed in Walmart. It doesn't just happen at church. It happens all over the place. And so, you know, but if you just say, man, I just don't feel like going and dealing with that today, then you could have possibly allowed some harvest to rot in the field. We don't want to do that. So today we're going to talk about something a little bit more uplifting and encouraging. And it's titled, Calling Fulfilled. Our calling fulfilled. And so we're going to start out talking this morning about the reward. Somebody say the reward. So here's the deal. God didn't call us to do great things and command us to go out and bear fruit and command us to go out and gather in the harvest and do all of these things. God is a God of reward. In 2 Corinthians 5, 8 through 10 says this, we are confident, yes, even well pleased rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. This is the judgment seat of Christ. And so we know that whenever we breathe our last breath here in this life, there is no in-between. It says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And but here's the deal. We're going to be present with the Lord, and we have to go and experience the judgment seat of Christ. And so it's not just a free ticket into heaven, and we just, boom, we breathe our last breath here. There's going to be a process, and we're going to stand before God, and we're going to have to answer to God how we spent this life. And so we saw a sign on a church yard this week as we were traveling. It said, "Eternity is forever. Prepare well." Eternity is forever. Prepare well. And so, you know, I thought about that. I was like, God, really, it is our investment that we're making today, this day, July the 28th. We are making an investment today into what's going to take place forever. Because we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and he is going to judge us. And so the judgment seat for the believer is to determine how well we lived our life. It's to be determined by our works. And so we are saved by grace alone. There is nothing else that can save us. Don't think that I'm preaching a works gospel. We are saved by grace. Aren't you thankful for grace? Aren't you thankful for the blood of Jesus? So don't go home saying, my pastor said that we're saved by works. We're not saved by works. We've established that. We are saved by grace alone, but we're rewarded because of our works. We're rewarded because of what we do in this life and how we spend each and every day of our life. That's what's going to determine how we are rewarded in heaven. In 2 Corinthians 5, 8 through 10 that we read, it says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. And so this is talking to believers. This is not talking to people, if you read the context of Scripture, we're not talking to people who have refused to accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. We're talking about people who have made a decision for Christ, they're living for Christ, and now we're going to each receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Listen, I want there to be a lot of good. Can somebody say amen? In my life, I want there to be a lot of good. It says, each one's work, listen to this, will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. This is what happens after we die, folks. After we die, we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and he's going to lay out our life, all the good and the bad. And he's going to lay it out, and he's going to lay it out. And thank God that the bad is covered by the blood of Jesus. Thank God for that. There's nothing we can, it's just thank God for the blood, right? And then we're left with what's left to be good. And can I tell you, it didn't say the good, the bad, and the in-between. It says the good and the bad. And so the fire is going to reveal it. And so it's like our works are going to be tested by fire, just like gold is. It's going to be tested by fire, and the things that come out pure, the things that come out pleasing to God, those things, that's what's going to be left for us to be rewarded for all of eternity. Now listen to this. In verse 14, it says, if anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. He will receive a reward. And so we know that if we have in our life things that we have done for God, the things that we have done for his kingdom, the times where we didn't feel like it, but we got up and helped somebody anyway, the times that we built wheelchair ramps for people, the times that you've opened the door for, listen, those things, those are the things God wants us to do good for others. And those things, the way we spend our life, if we're living out our calling before God, when God calls us to do something and we do it with a pure heart, we will receive a reward for those things. So somebody say, thank God for the reward. All right, but also, just like there's a reward, there's also a loss. There's a loss. And this is the part that puzzled me a little bit. And this is the part that really got my attention. The first time I heard this preached, John Bevere has an awesome study entitled Driven by Eternity. I would encourage you, if you have not read the book, if you have not watched the teachings on Driven by Eternity, it would definitely be worth the read. And it says in verse 15 of our text, 1 Corinthians verse 3, or chapter 3, verse 15, it says, if his work is consumed by the fire, he will suffer great loss. Yet he himself will barely escape destruction, like one being rescued out of a burning house. This is the life of one who maybe accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior, and came to church and tried to live life, but never did anything for God, never did anything for the kingdom, never got rid of selfishness and the things that held him back. The one who is not living out the called life that God has laid out before him. The Bible says that if his works, if the way he spent his life was meaningless, is going to be burned up by the fire, and he's going to suffer great loss. Now, here's the deal. If you're saved and you're blood-bought Christian, and you get to go to heaven. Amen? But this says that there's going to be some people in heaven, and if you read in context, there's going to be a lot of people in heaven, that even though they're in heaven, they're going to experience loss. Now that's a little confusing because of some of the feel good doctrines that we've taught in church, but they're going to experience loss because I believe that God's going to say, this is what I called you to do, and this is what you did. This is what it could have been like, and this is what it's going to be like because you made the investment with your life. So here's the way that looks like. I can guarantee you that the hours that we spend as Americans binge-watching Netflix is going to be burned up in the fire. Is Netflix bad? That's not for me to say or judge. I'm not one who preaches against TV. I've got a 65-inch TV hanging on my wall. Okay? I like TV. You know, that's small nowadays, you know, to some people. And so, you know, I like TV. I like movies. Like I said, we went and watched movies on vacation. We did that. But I can guarantee you, binge-watching Netflix is not going to withstand the fire of judgment. Can somebody say amen? Are you in agreement with me? Unless you were watching Billy Graham Crusades on YouTube. That might work. I don't know. You may get rewarded for that. That is possible, okay? But I don't know. But you know, the times where you didn't feel like it and you wouldn't help somebody anyway, I believe those are the things that are going to withstand the fire if you did it with a pure heart. The times where someone was sick or suffering and you did what the word says, and we're going to mourn with those who mourn, right? And you take them a meal to the hungry, or you help an orphan or a widow, or the things that the Bible lays out as true religion. Do you know that going to church is never laid out as true religion in the Bible? Punching in and punching out? No, that's not it, man. If you're just here to punch in and punch out, I can promise you that's not going to withstand the fire. Let's just be honest. But if you're here to allow God to make a difference in your life and to make a difference in somebody else's life and to connect with God and to do great things for God, then, man, those are the things that last for all eternity. Every dollar that we spend on DirecTV and entertainment and all the things that we do in life, you know, people waste their life and their income, and they work hard to do things that are not going to last. You know, those things are going to be burned up by the fire, but every dollar that you sow into ministry, into seeing souls saved all around the world. Next week, Patty and Titus are going to be with us, right? And you know they're making a huge difference in Tanzania. Hundreds and hundreds of kids' lives being changed by the power of God. That's the things that come out of this place. And you know, those are the things and the investments that God is going to honor for a lifetime, which is forever for the believer, which is amazing. So we want to make sure that we're investing well and that we are living out our calling, because there will be loss. We will know what it could have been like and what it should have been like. In number three this morning, it says that there's going to be a reward and there's going to be loss, but then it also talks about a full reward. Somebody say the full reward. Now, this is what we're going for this morning. This is what I want. If I know that I can have a reward or I can have a full reward, how many wants the full reward, right? And so God is the judge and he decides who gets what. In 2 John verse 8, it says, look to yourselves. Somebody say, that's me. All right, I want you to do something. Take your finger, point it up. One finger, hopefully your pointer. Choose your pointer. All right, pointer finger up. And then turn it back to your chest. Say, it's me. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. Somebody say, I want the full reward. So here's the deal. Here's what I can't do. Here's what I can't do. I can't go over to Aaliyah and I'm worshiping God and I'm like, well, I got my hands higher than Aaliyah. I must be doing good, right? Can't be looking at Aaliyah and what she's doing for God. But also we can't look at our parents and say, well, my grandpa was a pastor and my dad was a pastor and so I'm gonna go off of what they've done. Nope, you have to look to yourself. Pastor can't do it for you. Your mama can't do it for you. Your auntie can't do it for you. You know, your brother or your sister, they can't do anything for you. You have to look to yourselves. It is your responsibility that what we do not lose those things that we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. Here's the deal. I've also seen people who live for God their whole life. They've marched, they've done things. I've got a guy in my life. He was my youth pastor growing up. I'm just going to tell this. He was my youth pastor growing up, and really, he's the reason I got into ministry. He took me to youth camp, and it was at youth camp that God placed a call on my life. And things started. came out of my shell, man. I was the shyest kid in the youth group. Where's Liberty at? Where's she at? Liberty? I was the shyest, man. I wouldn't talk to anybody. And I shelled up, you know. I had long hair back then, hippie hair, you know. I had long hippie hair. It's the truth. I do. I've got pictures to prove it. With a part right down the middle. Oh yeah, man. But I was shy. Chris, is this true? Chris knew me then. But my youth pastor, really, God used him to change my life. He invested, man. I spent every Sunday afternoon at his house. Chris was usually there. We had a race on. I slept, you know. It was great. He got me involved in church, got me involved in music, and got me started in worship and different things, gave me lots of opportunities. He got me, before I ever went to Brownsville, he got me some spots on the worship team for Brownsville Revival Crusades and stuff like that. Man, it was awesome. He completely changed my life. But here in the last couple of years, he backslid. After all that, the last couple of years, he backslid. He left his wife, hooked up with one of his kids' teachers, completely threw away everything that he had, threw it all away. He lost all that he had worked for. And I sent him a message not long ago after I calmed down and wasn't so mad, angry with him. I sent him a message and said, all of the people and all of the lives that you changed, me being one of them, you have thrown us all away for the things of this world. And he's proud of what he's doing. He flashes it out. And listen, those things cause ripple effects. Can I tell you that? Those things cause ripple effects. But if you don't base your relationship with God on emotions and other people, but you base it on a solid rock foundation of Jesus Christ, when others let you down and when people hurt you and people make bad choices, when the ripples come and the waves come, your feet are firmly planted on Christ your Savior. Doesn't move you. But listen, how sad it is for the individual who works their life, who gives away their life to follow Christ and to lead others to Christ, and they throw it away and they lose what they worked for. Somebody say, let that not be me. I want to receive a full reward. You see, there's a reward which is simply eternal life. That is something that is given to you by the grace of God at the cross. But then there is a full reward, a reward that cannot be taken away, a reward that moth cannot destroy, that the storms of the life cannot sweep away. It is a reward that will last forever. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 9, it says, therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to Him. I want to be well pleasing to the Father. And it's just like this, and you've heard me share this analogy before. I have five children who I love very much, who can never do anything to keep me from loving them. I will love them as their father forever because God entrusted them to me, just like He did Miss Emerson over here. You know, God entrusts your children to you, and you will love them as a father, as a mother forever. There's nothing they could do to cause you not to love them. But they determine how well pleased I am with them. Does that make sense? Now, all you religious parents out there, you all have to say, no, I like all my kids just the same. You know? Well, no, you don't. Let me help you. No, you don't. There are days where I like some of my kids more than the others. Good preaching, Pastor. Thank you so much for telling the truth. You ain't afraid to tell the truth, brother. Well pleased. God's saying, hey, you're all my children, but there's some I like more than others. Now, that's the truth. He says we're going to make it our aim to be well-pleasing to Him. You know, if you're walking around and you're saying, God, I know you want me to go left, and I know you told me to go left over and over and over again, but I'm going to go right anyway because I think I know better than you anyway, and I'm going to do things my way. How many of you know that that is not a well-pleasing gesture to God? God wants you to be well-pleasing. He's saying, hey, I've called you to do great things. I've preordained you and predestined you from the beginning of time that you would have good works, that if you will follow my plan, you're going to experience prosperity, not just in heaven, but in this life. I've marked it all out for you. I've made a way. I've prepared everything in advance for you. He has invested everything that he is to see you succeed. And he said, hey, if you'll just follow me, if you'll walk with me, if you'll stay close to me, if you'll listen to my voice, if you'll be guided by the Holy Spirit, I'm going to lead you in the ways of prosperity, and I'm going to lead you down the ways of eternal reward, because I've marked it out for you in advance. If you just follow me, I'll show you how to be well-pleasing and to receive a full reward. God wants us to make it our aim to be well-pleasing to Him. How many wants that this morning? Would you stand with me all over this room? We have established that we're called. We're established that God has chosen us, that He's made us part of the plan. We have established that God has equipped us to do everything that He's called us to do. We have established that there are things in our life that will kill the calling of God. We've established that there is a reward, eternal life. There's no devil in hell that can take that from you. Now, you can walk away from it anytime you want to. But there's no devil in hell that can take it away from you. But I don't want to live just for the reward. I want to live for the full reward. How do we do that? We say, God, I'm going to follow you with everything I've got. I'm going to trust you with everything that I am. I'm going to stay close to you. How do you do that, Pastor? Well, you starts very simple. Spend time in the Word. Spend time in prayer. How much time are we spending with God every day? Some of us know the lyrics to the most popular, newest song more than we know the lyrics to the Bible. Many of us can quote movies from beginning to end, but we don't know what the Word says. Let's just be honest. We spend more time trying to memorize the things of this world than we do the things of God. So the first step is spend time in the Word. Spend time in prayer. Do we listen to Him? Some of us do a lot of talking to God, but do we do a lot of listening to God? Because He wants to talk back. It's not a one-way conversation. I promise if you will open your Word, read the Word, pray. And if you will get quiet for a few moments, just you and God, if you'll get quiet, you'll begin to hear His voice. He wants to speak to you. He doesn't just speak through me. He wants to speak to you. He wants to speak to you. Stay close to the Holy Spirit. Be willing to do whatever He asks you to do. If you feel led to share the gospel with somebody, share the gospel with them. If you feel led to share your testimony, share your testimony. Don't be afraid. Don't be shy. Don't be overcome. Do what God's called you to do. If you feel led to fund the ministry, fund the ministry. If you feel led to support a missionary, support a missionary. If you feel led to go to the mission field, go to the mission field. Do whatever God's called you to do, and you will reap a full reward. Can somebody say amen? Would you bow your heads with me? Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray over your people this morning. God, I pray each person under the sound of my voice, Father, that you will help us to stay close to you. God, that we will reap a full reward. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, God, that we will not let the things of this world drown out your voice or your leading. God, help us not to allow laziness or selfishness or, God, even sin or any of the things that hold us back, God. Help us not to allow any of those things rob us of the reward that you have for us. God, I pray in Jesus' name that we will live out our lives, God. Those that were baptized this morning, God, I pray in the name of Jesus that they will invest the rest of their life doing what you've called them to do. Whatever that is, God, whether it's in ministry or in the workplace, in the marketplace, in school, God, whatever it is, God, I pray that we will live out every day of our life, God, following you, everything that we've got. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you just bless each person under the sound of my voice this morning. God, I pray that you bless them in their finances and their marriages, their children, their children's children, God. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you will have your hand upon each and every one this morning. I give you praise for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, thanks again for joining us for this week's podcast. If you were blessed by the message today, please join us by visiting us at ucmagnolia.com. You can see what's going on, you can give online, and you can be a part of what God's doing at Unity Church Magnolia. God bless you, and we hope to see you soon.